Basically, sometimes we just want to say to the place in our life that we've been wondering about, we just say to it, it is well. It is well with my soul. We're good. And we go back to that when that place rears its head again, and we say, it is well. It is well. And some points throughout today, you might want to go and explore a place that you don't feel it is well. And you might want to ask God to speak into that place and say, how can we together make this anthem over it that says, it is well, in the spot, in the space that I am for right now. And it's good to sing it as well. We proclaim it some days. We're going to invite our kids to go to Sunday school program. Have fun. Thank you for all the leaders back there with them. Some say, no, I don't want to go. Let's just pray this morning. God, may we be able to say that it is good to be here today. God, thank you that we have entered into this place with praise and thanksgiving through song and through prayer already. God, I pray that you would open up our ears, our hearts, our understanding to your word, which you provide for us to teach us, to guide us, to give us confidence and courage. God, I pray that you would just open our spaces up to you, open our whole selves up to you today to be able to learn something new. And if you desire us to take a step of action, which demands what we might think is some courage, that we'd be willing to do that with trust in you, God. Thanks for the Bible. Thanks for the stories within the Bible that allow us to hear a narrative that we can align with. And so we just give you praise this morning. Amen. So for those who are new today, my voice isn't always quite this deep. We've been struggling with a cold in our household this week, and so if I burst into cough, I think Kate and Amai would love to come up and finish the sermon. We're going to go the next 3 weeks. We're going to be talking about courage. I found myself singing along to a song that was, it's a Christian worship song, and it's, "You make me brave, you make me brave." And then I was further listening to some worship music, and the theme brave came up again. And it just kind of struck me to have a look again of what does it mean for us to allow God to make us brave? And what does brave mean? And why would I want to be brave? And then we're going to, over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at some scripture narratives to show what bravery, courage looks like in scripture in a bunch of different ways. So we want to start with just the whole idea of what is courage. Courage, it talks about a definition is of good cheer, and it's boldness, and it's a confidence. And courage is absolutely the opposite of fear. So when I am afraid, the opposite of that would be courage. And so that whole thing is that courage will move us away from that place of fear, and that God commands us. He commands us boldly, and he commands us gently. He invites us to have courage or to fight against the fear that we have. When God invites us to fear not, with that all the way through Scripture, there's always a reason why to have courage. He applies to that a purpose. I think most of us can say we don't like living in a place of fear, so we can imagine that the goodness of God would say there's a better place for you to be living because I love you than landing in fear. And so it's this courage is moving against fear in a bunch of different ways. I was smiling, and I was reading through some stories in the New Testament and the Gospels about being brave and courageous. And there's a story of the disciples. And Jesus has said to them, you know, you guys go out on the water. I want some time alone. So they're out in the water in the boat, and the waves come, and they're in this midst of this terrible storm. And Jesus walks to them on the water and says, fear not. And they're terrified because they see this shadowy figure coming. And he says, you know, fear not, it is I. And this allows them eventually to calm down. And I was reflecting on a very funny story, a bad parental story. When we were near Tadoussac in Quebec and out doing a whale-watching adventure as a family of four. And we were out in this glorious day. It was beautiful, and all of a sudden this storm hit. And so our little boat driver was trying to beat this storm, but unfortunately we got caught right in the middle of it. And I'm sitting with Mallory, who was probably about 8 or 10 at the time, our daughter, and she's looking right in my eyes and she says, "Mommy, I think we're gonna die." And I said, "I think we are too." And Terry was just shaking his head saying, "Honey, that is not a helpful thing to say." And he was right, because what happened is Jordan, Mallory, and I were in this great place of fear. And Terry was just trying to be steadfast and say, "We're going to get through this. Let's hang on." So that is not a good example of how we face fear. We try not to join with the majority and be terrified. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at three different illustrations, biblical narratives of courage. And we're going to look at Moses and Gideon kind of as parallel stories. So you're going to see them up on the screen together, but remembering that I can't split my story that way. So we meet Moses before his calling. This is just the introduction to his calling. And he's out tending to flocks. He's kind of been in a place of not, he's been working as a shepherd. He's not living up to his full self quite yet. And the scripture talks about that the angel of God appeared to Moses in flames of fire blazing out of the middle of a bush. And Moses looked, and the bush was blazing away, but it didn't burn up. So there's something miraculous going on against nature. And Moses said, like, "Hey, what is going on here? I can't believe this. It's amazing. I'm wondering why this bush is not burning up." And then God saw that Moses had stopped to look, and he called out from the bush, and he said, "Moses, Moses." Moses said, "Yes, I am right here." He identified, "I am here." And that's an important part of this narrative today. And God said, "Don't come any closer. I invite you to remove your sandals from your feet, for you're standing on holy ground." God has now set the scene for what Moses is experiencing. And then God continues to say, identify himself, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And then God says a little further down, "Moses, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the people of Israel, out of Egypt." Without doing more than a sentence, the people of Israel were in deep, deep, deep bondage and fear, and they know it. And God now says to Moses, "I'm inviting you to go and bring them out." And Moses answered, "But why me? What makes you think that I could ever go to Pharaoh and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt? Why me?" Another version says that Moses says to God, "Who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God says to him, "I will be with you." And then Moses says to God, "But suppose I go to the people of Israel and I tell them, 'Hey, people, the God of your father sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name? And who do I tell them?'" And God says to Moses, "You tell them that I am who I am, and tell them that I am sent me to you." And God just continued telling Moses these words of promise that he'll be with him. But then again, Moses says, "But they won't trust me. They won't listen to a word that I say. They're going to say, 'God appeared to you, Moses?' We doubt it." Hardly. Moses, in another version, says, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me? And what if they say to me, 'The Lord did not appear to you'? And then he said, "But suppose also they do not believe me or listen to me." And there's back and forth in scripture where Moses and God are talking about this. And then Moses raised another objection to God. And he says, "Master or Lord, please, I don't talk well. I've never been good with words. Neither before nor after you spoke to me, I stutter and I stammer." God said to him, and maybe a little frustrated with God now, maybe more gently, I'm not sure. And God said, "And who do you think made the human mouth? And who makes some mute and some deaf and some sighted and some blind? Isn't it I, God? So get going. I will be right with you, with your mouth. I'll be right there to teach you what to say." And again, Moses says, "Oh, Master, oh, Lord, please. Please send someone else." In Judges 6, we meet Gideon, and it just again in a sentence or two that the Israelites again were under a time of pressure. They were hiding from the Midianites, and we meet Gideon also in a place of hiding, and he was in a hiding place doing the task at hand, and an angel came to him and sat on an oak tree, this is where the angel saw Gideon, that he was threshing wheat in the wine press. Again, scripture tells us he was out of sight of the Midianites, so he was doing this in a place of safety, of hiding. And the angel of God appeared to him and said to Gideon, God is with you, O mighty warrior. That's how God speaks to Gideon, O mighty warrior. And Gideon replied, with me, my master, my Lord? If God is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the miracle wonders our parents and grandparents told us about, telling us, didn't God deliver us from Egypt? The fact is, God, nothing is going on here, and it feels like you have turned us over to the Midianites. But God, then it says, God looked directly at Gideon. He said, go in the strength that is yours. God identifies again in Gideon, go in the strength that is yours, that is already yours. Save Israel from Midian. Haven't I just sent you? And Gideon said to him, like Moses, me? Me, my Lord? How and with what could I ever save Israel? Look at me. My clan's the weakest, and I am the runt of the litter. And God said to him, I'll be with you. Believe me, you'll defeat Midian as one man. And then I think what we can really learn about the beautiful nature of God with us is that Gideon, like Moses, engages in further conversation with God. And I'm reading from the Message version this morning, so it's a little different. It's a little more narrative than sometimes we read in other versions. But it says, Gideon says to God, if you're serious about this, do me a favor. Give me a sign to back up what you're telling me. Don't leave until I come back and bring you my gift. And then it goes on, and there's a couple more episodes where Gideon and God are working it out. It's an amazing story. I encourage you to read. And then finally, Gideon says to God again, God, don't be impatient with me, but let me say one more thing. I want to try another time with fleece, which is Gideon's way of testing God and testing this call. And God made it happen that very night. Only the fleece was dry while the ground was wet with dew. And so we have Moses and we have Gideon. And what we can know is that they both ask the same questions of God when God comes in and calls to them. It's like, why me? I can't do this. I love that Gideon says, hey, God, don't you remember the tribe that I'm a part of? Like, we are the weakest. And by the way, I am the runt of that tribe. So Gideon actually was. That was a truth statement. Whatever a runt means, he was the youngest, the smallest of that tribe. Moses goes on to tell God, hey, I'm not a good speaker. You should know that. It probably was very, very true of Moses that he didn't speak well, and he knew that of himself. And as they bring these before God, what they're trying to do is object to God and say to God, hey, God, you really can't know me that well. You must have kind of made a mistake and bypass me and go on to someone else. But God doesn't make mistakes like that. God has designed us fearfully and wonderfully. He's created us, and as he's created us fearfully and wonderfully with all the gifts and talents and abilities that we have, he has also created us purposefully. And it's God that sets in front of us the tasks or the things that we are to do that God invites us in to do. What we learn from the story is that it's really, really easy to tell people why we are not the right person to do the brave. So easy to tell people why I am not the one, why you are not the one. And we have our list, and the list feels really good. Gideon and Moses, they had great lists, really responsible things. So the next time you're sitting in a situation where you feel called by God or you're invited by someone else to do something and you find yourself telling that person or telling God why you can't do it, remember, it's easy to say why you are not the one to do it. It's more difficult to say why you are. Moses asked the question, who am I to go? And Gideon says, I am the runt. And something that we need to do is we really need to answer this question. So we need to answer the question, who am I to go? A great exercise to do is to sit with God and to invite God to answer your question. Have a piece of paper and a pen. And God, who do you say that I am? And listen. God will not call you the runt. God will not call you the bad speaker. God will come in and speak to you as we listen about who you are. But we really need to work that out. Who am I in God? We need to really try to stop hiding out, to realize our worth, to realize that God has a proper design on our life. And that when we say yes to God, that it means we're thinking beyond our own limits. So my story of my life would be defined within my own limits. And already, when I look back on my life, in fact, Terry and I have often said that if God would have put on the screens, if we're walking down the marriage aisle, and if God would have put it on an overhead screen, this is going to be the picture of your married life, we would have been like, well, first of all, not going to happen to us, would be one of the first things. And then we would have said, well, we're not capable of doing that. We can't do that. So if we foreknew the story of our life, we would have said, yeah, thank you. We don't actually want to enter into it. And that's also the beautifulness of God, that he invites us to get to know ourselves and invites us and asks us not to put limits on ourselves, and that we are invited to overcome our own weaknesses by relying on God's strength. So if you find yourself saying, I can't do that, and I'm not talking today about like go and change the world stuff, but I think some of you are invited to do those big momentum things that will change the world. I'm really talking about what is put in front of us today so that we take one step further and one step further into understanding and relying on God's strength. Something that I think is really important is we don't know how our courage, our steps of faith and bravery will change the outcome around us. So I think, Gathering Church, that you're a really, really brave church. I look back over our last 2 years, and I commend you, and I delight in being part of leadership because of the brave steps that you have taken, that we have taken together. And because of the steps that we've taken together, lives are being radically changed. Community is being rebuilt. But 2 years ago, we wouldn't have sat here knowing that. In fact, if some of you don't know the Gathering's history, for the first 10 years of being a church, we met on Activa in a school gym. And because of a custodial work-to-rule strike, it meant that we were no longer allowed to meet there on Sunday mornings. And we were told on a Wednesday that the Sunday coming up, we wouldn't be able to meet there. And so we're a little bit of a, what are we going to do? It's not quite so easy to find a place to meet at this church. And so I phoned Chandler. I phoned here, and they said, absolutely, we welcome you. Come on in. And so we met here. And we met here for quite a number of weeks. And then we were able to go back. And it was you that said, hey, I don't think we're supposed to go back. And I wanted you to know that as your leader who really loves that we are here, I had not even thought about staying permanently at Chandler. Jim, who was lead pastor at the time, had not even thought about staying permanently at Chandler. We were just the church on Activa meeting out of WT. And all of a sudden, because of your bravery and your listening to God, it became, well, let's wait and see and let's meet here longer. And then we decided, let's together say a yes or a no. And you said a very, very loud, strong yes. And with that yes came, well, let's keep investing in the kids of Chandler Moat. Let's keep doing our breakfast program. And let's do some family day. And let's join into March break camps. And let's figure out how we can have a presence in the summer. And let's do some community suppers. And let's partner with the House of Friendship and with the city so that we can be together pressing out the shadows, pressing out the darkness, and being a place, a community of light, and a community of love. And that takes courage. It takes courage to go to new places. It takes courage to geographically move. We have also moved from socioeconomic place that is different for what most of us experience in our lives. We are meeting new people. people from diverse backgrounds all the time. And as we meet, we are being welcomed as we are also seeking to be welcomed. This week here at the community, as your leader right now, it was an amazing experience where the center was impacted by something negative, and it meant that they had to shut down, and they knew it was probably going to be a two-day shutdown. And so, again, because I'm with the Gathering Church and they love the Gathering Church, I was invited into a meeting. And in this meeting, where they knew that the center had to be shut down, it would not be open from Tuesday afternoon to at least Thursday morning, they looked at me and they said, "Catherine, but we don't want the kids on Wednesday morning to go without breakfast." And I'm like, "We actually want to stand and honor what's been going on this week. We want to stand with you and say we're going to be for the light." And the leader of the center said, "No, you can do that, but we don't want kids on Wednesday morning to go to school without lunch." And for me, standing in that place, one, I felt it was a real brave statement of the city of Kitchener to say, we still want this to happen. And so on Wednesday morning, we ended up handing out our bag lunches from the back of my van in the parking lot. That's brave on our behalf, sort of, but mostly brave that the city is saying, let's more deeply partner, let's look at the things that we want to continue on, let's not be afraid of the negative forces that try to come down and close down the center for a couple of days. That is your bravery. And because you've been a brave church, that morning we met five new people that hopefully will join us on Wednesday mornings and have a place to come and be together. So we don't know what your brave as a community or your brave as an individual do. I think what's really, really important for us to note this morning is that in Scripture, the people that we read about are just like you and like me. They did not know all ahead. So Moses and Gideon, they don't know of the successes they're going to have. They don't know of the failures they're going to have. They don't know of the more courage that they're going to need. They're just like you, and they're just like me, and we know today about all. And so what God invites us into is to listen to that call in our lives and to take a step forward when he invites us into that. The other thing is to remember, and I love Andy Stanley's sentence that says, the only person who gets to label a creation is the creator. And so what we need to do is you and I, we need to make sure that we let God label us. So Moses says, I can't speak, and Gideon says, I'm the runt. What they needed to do, and would have been their journey with God further to this calling, is to say, God, who do you say that I am? Who do you define me as being, and how can I use that? So at my age, I know a few of my gifts. I can say I can do this well, and this well, but I'm also learning that God isn't always calling me in the things that I do well. He's calling me into different places. And I won't know what the outcome is going to be until I step into that. And I hope that I keep doing that till a long time into my life. A couple of weeks ago, Katie Bowman spoke to us about some of the situations that are facing our teenagers and our young, I mean, probably even younger than teenagers. And she was talking about how we are in a society that we become very afraid of failure. And what we're doing then is we're not stepping into those situations because we're more afraid of the risk of failing than we are about the opportunity. And I was going through Scripture this week. I want to talk about a situation that I read through the lens of our time, and it was the choosing of David. And it's from 1 Samuel 16. And again, the country, the place is in a place of mourning where Saul has died. And God is now inviting Samuel to go and say, you know, we've got to go and find the new king. And so Samuel did what the Lord said, and he arrived to the group in the town, and the town's elders said to him, you know, Samuel, do you come in peace? And Samuel says, yes, in peace I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to sacrifice with me. And then he consecrated Jesse, who's the dad, and his sons, and invited them to the sacrifice. And so what's happening here is God has invited Samuel to go in and find the next king. And so Jesse comes with his sons, and when they arrive, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, this is what Samuel thought by looking at Eliab. He thought, surely This is the Lord's anointed one standing here before me. So now we take away the picture from us being called and to us looking at people and how we look at them. And Samuel's pretty sure it's got to be this son. But the Lord said to Samuel, nope. And God says to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And then Jesse calls his other son, and it's like, I can't say his name today, Abinadab. He passes before Samuel, but Samuel says, you know, the Lord has not chosen you. And then Shammah, and the Lord said, oh, he's not chosen you. And then Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but at the end of it, Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. So Jesse is the dad. He's known the drill that he has been invited to bring all of his sons before Samuel because one of those sons is going to be anointed king. All these sons pass by. Nope, not this one, not this one. And so Samuel says to Jesse, are these all the sons you have? And then Jesse answered, oh, well, they're still the youngest. He's tending the sheep. And Samuel said, well, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. And the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. So, parents and teachers and people in business and friends and family, we also can be the one that prohibit people from doing the brave thing for which God calls them to do. So Jesse, he could have been a dad who was afraid and said, I don't want my young son to have to face all this pressure. He could have actually been a dad that thought, seriously, they don't want my youngest. He's not able to do that. But within that spirit of Jesse, Jesse was the one that did not allow for who God called to be up front. So what we want to do is we want to not prevent those around us to be not exposed to stressful situations. We don't want to prohibit our kids or our spouse or our friends to be removed from places where they would be asked to be courageous. As a mom, I was thinking about it this week. I thought, what is the most brave thing I feel like I've done in the last while? Really, it was letting Mallory go to university. Mallory's going to go anyway. She wasn't worried that she was going. Mallory, 18-year-old, just went to university in the fall. And why it was brave for me was I trusted Mallory to go. I had to really, really be brave enough to let her go. So that meant a whole bunch of things. For the first week, I thought, I will never be able to fall asleep unless I know Mallory's in her bed at university. So you guys aren't moms yet of kids in university. Don't try and make your kid in her first week of university tell you what time she's in bed every night. Not fair to her. But what I knew, what God had said to me clearly is, you are not to be phoning Mallory every night. You are not to be checking in on her. You are to trust her. Oh my gosh, that was so brave of me. Took all my courage. Because as a mom, for all those years, I always knew when Mallory was in the house. I always knew. I wasn't very brave. I was in control. And now I had to be brave to let her go. I also had to be brave to let Mallory say yes to things without coming back and checking in with Terry and I. And you might think, oh, Catherine, that's not very brave. It is so brave. So when she talks about, I want to go do a semester abroad, or I think I want to serve here, or I think my job later on in life might take me to live here, Terry one time said, well, that's not too far away. I'm sure we could move with her. That'll be all right. That is being brave to let that go. What happened in this congregation of brave people is there were two of you who spoke words of truth over me that just filtered way, way down. They were your brave words that made me be a brave mom. And so now what we have to look at courage. And we say encourage means to give someone else courage. And so when you, church, encourage someone else to do what they're called to do, what you're doing is you're pushing them towards courage. And that's what we want to do. That's what Jesse needed to do. He needed to be a dad of courage, and then he needed to be a dad of encouragement to actually release his son in what he was called to do. We want to not be a people who fear for others going in steps of bravery. We really want to make sure we're not doing that with kids as well. We want to make sure that they know what to do and how to step into those places. So some of us would say, okay, Catherine, what I know is I'm scared. That's what I know this morning. And I would say, I get it. I've been scared lots of time in my life. I invite you this morning to look beyond saying that I'm scared, to look at the things that you have accomplished in your life, to really do a life in review to say, well, if I look back on my life, I was actually scared then, but I did it, and God was with me and have seen success. I encourage you this week to look at what has been your brave so far. What have you done that's brave? And what does brave actually look like for you? One of my favorite stories of the last couple years has been by Chris Burgess, where Chris and Rachel were going on that high ropes course, which terrorizes me. And Chris talks about he was terrified and didn't let go and didn't follow instructions, and it wasn't fun. And I was like, that is so great, because I don't have to be brave on a ropes course. I don't want to have to do that. But what does brave look like for you? What has God given you to equip you to be brave? And then what I'm going to invite you to do this week is to understand, what if I believed I am who God says that I am? And again, it's a time to pause. I would encourage you not to try to do this in 3 minutes, but to set some time and ask God the question, who do you say I am? And then listen, and then what you want to do is you want to lean into that answer. You want to explore it a little bit. You want to test it a little bit. And then you can be more prepared when God invites you to take a step into that place. Sometimes you will hear something you think, oh, I'm actually not that. But what we need to go back and say, oh, but God, my Creator says that's who I am. So God is calling me into that. You might hear an answer that you say, that's actually not who I want to be. I actually don't desire to be that God. And what you want to ask is God's picture for what the value is receiving who you are in that way. I also encourage you to not say no so quickly. When we were first parenting, Terry just said no a lot of the time. It was hilarious. We could always have people at our house. We would drive every kid everywhere. But when Mallory or Jordan were invited somewhere, Terry would go, no. And again, we learned from our kids who said, hey, you don't have to say no so quickly. And by not saying no so quickly, we opened up opportunities for the kids, which are great, and they've had a good life. It is the same with God. Don't make your answer to God be no in a quick way. Open yourselves up to say, I can test that, I can try that. And God has a story for you and a way to use your courage. And remember, it's not up to you. And that's where we started this morning with Joshua, where God is saying to him, be strong, be confident, be really, really courageous, because I am with you. I go before you. We'll go on this together. Let's pray. God, I'm thankful that in your generosity and your goodness to us, you give each one of us courage. It is in us. It is in the created way you made each one of us, that we are able to be courageous. We are able to be brave, because bravery and courage indwell in us. And God, today, some of us, we've kind of tucked courage away in a little bit of a hidden drawer, and we haven't gotten to that courage or bravery drawer for a long while. And you invite us to open up that drawer. Because within that drawer, within us applying courage to ourselves, your courage, you invite us into the fullness of life adventure. God, we thank you that you've created your plans for us to prosper us and not to bring us harm. We thank you, God, that you've created us to be the light of this world, to be the salt. God, that through the way that you've created us, you've given us the ability to bring much light, to press back the darkness. God, that you've created us to be able to change people's lives and situations in our world. God, in our own homes, in our neighborhoods, in global communities. God, I pray that you would be gracious to each of us as we choose to ask the question, who do you say that I am? As we listen and hear from you, God, I pray that we'd also be courageous enough to let you grow in us what you say to us. And so even now, God, we pause for just a moment. And if we're courageous enough, we ask, God, who do you say I am? Thank you, God, that you invite us to join with you. Help us, God, to be bold and of really, really good courage. We ask this in your name. Amen.
I invite you to stand, and just as we sing this song,